I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It's going to be best available, but if that is Colin Sexton or maybe Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri. But keep in mind that that draft pick could be traded even once it's selected leading up to free agency.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at SHURWAY.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I think it's really sexy.
The Fan.
Why, thank you, Neil. Never thought he'd call us sexy.
Which one do you think you would find more sexy? You
probably me. Probably yeah. Me. You know, I got a big body for the post. He's into that kind of thing.
He wants you to back him down?
Yeah. Ooh, take me in the low block.
Half a second and 6 inches is all that they need to get a shot off.
This took a turn the wrong way.
That was not supposed to go that way. Yeah, I did not see that coming. I like the cool hip-hop beat, though, Swigard used for that open, huh? Getting a cool jam to start the final hour of the show.
Well, there was once a message passed along about you and I going to Blazer games, and one of them was don't dress dumpy, and the other was don't dress too urban.
Yeah.
I believe was the term that was used for me. So
I was dumpy.
He got into his urban roots there for the intro.
Swag sent that email saying don't dress too urban.
Yeah. He told me to not wear. I was dumpy and you were urban. So I was basically don't wear sweatpants and a jersey, Dirt. And I was like, okay, I don't own any jerseys, but thank you.
Because Dirt used to come in his early days. Dirt would show up and have like an Oregon Duck t-shirt.
Ah.
Which, by the way, you'd probably get a reward for wearing that.
Yeah, now.
Nowadays.
Yeah, I was just a trendsetter around the building.
Because Dirt would wear that and not be dressing in button-up shirts and nice pants to produce Primetime or Travis and Wilcox or something else. He was labeled a dumpy dresser. And I was labeled an urban dresser.
Dumpy and urban. I think we found your new radio show
name. New name for the show, man.
Dumpy
Let's
and
do
urban
this.
At noon.
Let's rebrand ourselves.
It's going to be a busy final hour here on Dumpy and Urban. Let's start, though. Can we start with a couple of baseball tidbits?
Yeah, I'm always down to talk some baseball. Baseball is really good right now.
We're having a good year.
My Bravos.
I like how I just dropped a wee for baseball. I'm a part of the sport.
Best record in the NL? Or second best.
Yeah, you're
record
feeling good NFL. After that Tehran start.
I think it's
huh?
the second. The Brewers are in first with 43 wins. We have 42.
You have the same record as the Brewers.
Oh,
42 and 29.
Best record in baseball or in the NL? I mean,
in the National League. Yeah. Astros have the best record in baseball right now. But that is kind of the tie-in. So the Mariners had a really good weekend. You got to be feeling good about your 7 out of 10. You know, good pitching outings against the Red Sox.
A split one. Yeah.
That big comeback the other night. I mean, you drop they gave up Paxton, got blew up in like the third inning. So you're feeling pretty good. But they haven't been able to, cut too much ground into the AL West because the Astros are now back in first place. The Astros have won 11 straight games.
On fire.
Well, one of the reasons they're on fire is because they've been beating a bunch of bad teams as of late. And this note might be a little concerning to Mariner fans. So from now until the All-Star break, Houston, their opponents have a combined winning percentage of 43%. Which is far and away the easiest in Major League Baseball. The next closest are the Twins. Their opponents are 45. The Rangers, 45. And the Cubs, 45-8.
Yeah.
So the Astros, not only have they won 11 straight because they're capitalizing on a weak schedule, but now they basically play nobody from here on out until the All-Star break.
Yeah, and look, the Astros, we know how talented they are. You do worry if you're a Mariner fan that you weren't having a great stretch, that this is something that's long-term sustainable. Now, we've had a couple baseball writers on dating back to the start of this run post Robinson Cano, and all of them have kind of bought into what the Mariners are. But with the Astros schedule being what it is, you kind of assume they're going to take care of business. you're hoping you don't go into a little bit of a slump. Your schedule's going to get tough.
Yeah, they're in New York now, starting a series against the Yankees.
You're looking at your next three series. You go into a slump those next three series, you could be looking up and seeing yourself 8 to 9 games back of the Astros. That's the concerning part. Based on their schedule and how well they're playing baseball, and then now you diving into the meatier schedule.
That's tough. So this is where you just got to hold on, because all this kind of stuff usually settles itself out through the course of a season. Like, you'll have a really tough month, or you get a lot of road games, or you got just a tough schedule. You're going to get an easy chunk at some point. You just got to hold on. Don't let the Astros run away with it right now.
Somebody had just texted 160,000 at Safeco over the weekend. Half that number was Red Sox fan, but that was still an impressive showing by a Mariner fan.
Hey, bodies in the seats are better than no bodies in the seats.
I say that in jest, but realistically, I've been to a Red Sox and Yankee game in Seattle. Doesn't mean anything on you. Those fans just go everywhere and they take it over.
Toronto's the same way.
I thought it was really...
Cubs fans, too.
I thought it was kick-ass watching them on Fox. You don't see Seattle Mariner baseball on Fox very often. And they took on the Red Sox.
And there was
Fox.
No, it was like a TNT game. There was no local broadcast because the Giants were also on Fox.
Right.
So it was like they did like a blackout of local TV. So you had to watch the Fox broadcast of the game.
I like that.
Kind of a big deal. By the way, on their attendance, and this is something I am going to track moving forward, because they did great in attendance this weekend. Granted, yes, it's the Red Sox Father's Day.
Perfect weekend for the
things lined
otherwise
up.
Too.
But get this. So this is kind of a segue into the other baseball thing that I wanted to bring up. And this is from Maury Brown, friend of the show for Forbes. And he did a piece because some folks are wondering what's the issue behind, you know, maybe a sluggish attendance in the major leagues this year. And we'll get to those numbers in a moment. But this one blew me away. So he went up to the game for Father's Day yesterday. He was up in Seattle. The Mariners' attendance this year is below, at this point in the year, where their attendance was last season.
And they're 20 games over 500.
That blew me away.
Man.
Why are people not going?
Well, what's the TV numbers?
And that's what I don't know. I don't know if he has that tidbit, but this is just an article about attendance. I get that you have that pessimistic view of we always blow it, or you don't want to buy in because you've been fooled too many times. Like, Blazer, we know that as Blazer fans, we've been there a million times. Like, 13-game winning streak, let's buy in. Oh, there's a sweep in the first round. Thanks for that kick in the nuts. So I get the pessimism at least a little bit. But as this has continued to go, at this point in the season, to be behind where you were last year.
Yeah.
Like, I get not selling out every game, but being behind where you were last season, to me, is inexcusable.
So the Maury Brown article, I haven't really been able to dive all the way in. Does he put TV numbers in there?
I haven't gone the entire way through. Okay, I just focus on the attendance numbers.
If he puts the TV numbers in and they've gone up, that solves your problem right there. It's just, you know, people aren't as willing to spend their hard-earned money to go see something. Now, that doesn't mean that their attendance won't continue to go up from where it was at the start of the year.
That's just something to follow in the next, like, 2 months, especially if they keep playing well.
But, you know, local numbers for baseball teams always do really, really well. That's why they thrive so much financially. They kill it in their local markets. So you tell me the attendance goes down a little bit in game, I can kind of understand that. Baseball is one of those sports, especially if you got a family. Do you want to go to a ball game? Be there till 10:30, maybe midnight, depending on how long it goes. It's a tough ask for fans. Don't want to make an excuse. They are substantially better, so I'm a little surprised to hear that. But with the way that TV has gone with baseball, which has been a uber success in local regions, I can kind of understand where fans come from on that standpoint.
Well, I'll ask this, and listeners can chime in on it as well, because this isn't just a Mariner problem. And the whole point of Maury's piece on Forbes is about attendance being down across Major League Baseball. So he dove into the numbers. And again, this is the way it's worked. I don't know if all sports are like this. I know baseball is. Since the late 90s, it's not butts in the seats. It's tickets sold. So you can look at a game and say, wow, there are like 48 people there, but you could sell 5,000 tickets and they count 5,000. They count how many tickets you sell, not how many people come through the turnstiles. But he crunched the numbers on that basis, and Major League Baseball attendance is down 6.5% compared to where it was last year. Just to put a number behind that, the average at this point in the year is per ball game 27,484. Last year was 29,402.
I also personally think their ballparks are too damn big.
That's a huge issue. Yeah,
I think they
all
should like Portland's model for the Portland Diamond Project. I think they were saying it's around 32. How many cities need to be much more above that number?
Not many. A lot of cities screwed that up. They would just built a way too big of a ballpark, thinking you're going to pack it. And even Safeco, to a certain extent, like that. You just don't need that big of a ballpark.
Right. It's beautiful, but do you need that number? So if you say 27,000, your ballpark's 35,000. It's going to look substantially better than if it was 43,000 and you have 27.
Right. A little more sense of urgency. He does note two of the big reasons why. One of them is the postponements. So there have been 37 so far in Major League Baseball this season. Last year, there was 39 the entire year. So the weather has been real wacky in a lot of these cities. Rain delays, snow delays. I think there was even one today, was there not? I think New York or Washington, wasn't there?
Yankees game got suspended today.
Got suspended in 3-3 ties. So, I mean, you're seeing this all over, and he's pointing to that. And also he points to Toronto and Miami. He singles them out. The Blue Jays are down almost 12,000 fans per game from where they were last year.
They suck this year.
And the Marlins are somehow down 10,000 per game. How they had 10,000 last year, I don't know, but they're down 10,000 fans from where they were last
year. You say somehow.
Does that put them at zero?
I mean, right around
negative
it.
Negative numbers.
Serious question, though. Does that put them at zero?
The Giants were just in Miami, and there was nobody at those games.
You want to know how bad the Marlins are? I want to say that the Orioles, who are atrocious, are 2-0 against them and 0-16 against the rest of the MLB. That's how bad they are. It was either the Marlins or the Mets. Either one of those, they're terrible, but yeah. That's how bad one of those teams are doing.
Interesting stuff.
Joe jumped in and said, you know how bad the Marlins are. And then he goes, it was either the Marlins or the Mets.
Hey, you got to give it to me. It's an NL team with an M for its mascot name.
Okay, thanks.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. So attendance numbers down across Major League Baseball.
We'll go with the Marlins in that story.
We'll keep tracking it.
I don't do a ton of research.
Hey, it all flies, man. We'll see where it goes as the year goes on, especially with the Mariners, man. They keep playing like this. I hope people start putting those butts in the seats when it's not Father's Day weekend and when the Red Sox aren't in town. Support a team. They're 20-some games over 500. They've been a lot of fun to watch. Okay, a hodgepodge for you coming up next, and then we'll get into the Beavers coming at the bottom of the hour just about what happened on Saturday and update you on the situation today. But Jurassic Park could be coming to real life. How do we feel about that? Are we running for our lives? And Stephen A. Smith shares thoughts on almond milk, butts, and an attractive reporter. Next on The Fan.
Did you ever see a she-gator protect her young?
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Did you ever see the beauty of...
Yeah, some thoughts from mom. Some thoughts from folks. Had the fan text line 55305. Somebody said, the Mariner deal, its prices. The cheapest weekend game ticket was 19 for a family of five. That's steep. No doubt. I totally get it. Somebody said...
And then you can't go there for 4 hours and not eat.
Right. I mean, that's a meal. It's a whole day.
How much are you paying for parking?
Right. Somebody said Seattle traffic is worse than it has ever been. My niece just texted me that it took an hour and 45 minutes to drive less than 1 mile through downtown Seattle.
Wow.
As she left work. Amazon is destroying downtown Seattle, and I think people are preferring to watch on an HD broadcast at home. Mm. Which I get that. We've always talked about convenience of watching at home as opposed to going to a game. That's where I'm curious where the breaking point is. It's easy to do that when you don't have high expectations. It's like, oh, we're home, let's flip the game on. But if they continue to win, like, do you get to that point where it overcomes the obstacles of price and the time and all that things because you have a team that's in first place or, you know, a big series on the line in September? You still going to stay at home because the traffic's bad? Like, where is that breaking point is what I'm curious
about. I don't know. I mean, how many games would you go to if we had a team right now? Let's say it's after year one.
Realistically, baseball, I would probably go to...
If we're being honest, real quick before you answer this, we're being 100% honest, there's a percentage chance you might have a family by the time we have a team, right? I'm not putting out a number. I'm just saying there's a percentage chance.
You bite your tongue.
Your schedule and your ability to go to these games is going to change a lot.
Going to the ball game, honey.
Conference Sunday, go to the game tomorrow. You take care of kids.
Current life status, I'd probably go to 25 to 30 games a year.
Okay.
Is what I'd say. 80 a year, I'd probably go to a quarter of the home games.
That's pretty damn impressive.
You know, you get a big weekend series, try and get a couple in, you know, go to a couple a month.
Because I think year one, I'd be pretty stoked. I'd probably want to go in on, you know, splitting some season tickets with a couple friends and, I'd want to go to some games. I could see it diminishing over time, just in the sense of Wednesday game. I know it's the Yankees, but got to get my kids, got to make dinner. You know,
stuff happens, man.
Nowadays, and I think it's only going to get worse down the road, you're not going to be able to go home after work and then go take care of business and then come back for the ball game. Traffic will not allow that.
No, it will not.
So you're going to, I got to kill some time down here, over here, at that bar, whatever. That stuff starts to add up for a lot of people out there that are, you know, making good money, but not phenomenal money.
Sure.
And one person, I can understand it.
Yeah. One person brought up the writing off of tickets as well. It'd be worse next year in businesses can't write off tickets, which is a thing we all have to keep an eye on in all the sports.
They can't write them off?
Not on the new tax law, yeah.
Ooh.
I believe that's the verbiage in it. So something to get in all the sports. It's something to be keep an eye on. Okay, let's get to Stephen A. Smith. I got like six other like small stories that I really want to get to before the show closes.
Okay.
We're not going to have time for Jurassic Park, so we'll get to that in the next segment.
That's coming out Friday.
Yeah.
I'm actually stoked.
Is it coming to a backyard near you soon, though? Huh? There's a tease. Did you see what Paulina Gretzky did?
I did.
We need to get to that.
Yeah.
A fun World Cup tidbit. So I got a whole bunch of small things that we need to get to. Let's get to Stephen A. Smith, though. So I'll start with the audio that we don't have. He was, where did this come from? The New Yorker did a profile on him, old Stephen A. Smith. And out of nowhere, they started talking about milk. For what, who doesn't like talking about milk, you know? Mm-hmm. And he had this to say. I used to think the almond milk was the best. But then someone told me, a trainer told me, there's too much estrogen up in there in the almond milk. That's right. You don't want to walk around with man boobs if you don't have to. I got away from that.
It's like he doesn't do milk at all.
Can this be confirmed? Does almond milk have a lot of estrogen in it?
You have trainers. You text them.
Is that a fact? I need to look into that thing.
I don't. Yeah. I also don't want any meme, but like.
He's got estrogen up in that.
He's not the model of fitness. So it's funny that he takes it so seriously that he can't have any almond milk.
No more almond milk, man. I used to think it's healthy. Not anymore. He's not drinking that stuff anymore.
So
he kind of sounds like an old fuddy. I'm not going to that club. There's boys dancing with boys. Whoa, dude.
So basically, because of some of the fillers in almond milk, it can have a reaction inside your body that affects the production of thyroid hormones.
So it depends on your body, basically. He doesn't know if it affects him.
Okay. It could. But yes, we don't know.
I had big boobs before I drank almond milk. But that's just from doing chest exercises.
It's working out, man.
A little humble brag.
Chest day, baby.
No, they're not super big, but I got some chesticles up here.
All right, let's get to the other two pieces. So he's been sharing his thoughts on a whole bunch of things. Should we start with him hitting on the report? Let's go there first.
Yeah, and this is from a little bit ago, maybe a year or so ago.
Okay, but the video is just now surfacing?
Possible, yeah.
Okay, so this is, what's the gal's name, Joe?
I didn't get her name. She's a Puerto Rican reporter, though.
Okay.
It's smoking hot.
Enjoy this.
What's up, everybody? It's Stephen A. Smith from ESPN in the house, and you're watching TAB Sports. Do not take your eyes off of it for obvious reasons.
As he looks
Tiro al blanco de puertas y nos encontramos con Stephen A. Smith de ESPN. How are you, Stephen?
¿Cómo está? How you doing?
I was going to ask, how's your Spanish?
It's not good at all, but I'm working on it. I just need to be inspired. I need somebody to teach me how to speak Espanol, so I'm working on that. I'm working.
Maybe you can find someone to help you with that.
I'm looking for it.
I heard you love Latinas. Is that true?
I do. They've never loved me. I don't know. I guess I'm just not that attractive. I don't know what to say, but I've never received that kind of love because, trust me, had I would have accepted it.
So what do you have to say to all your Puerto Rican fans that don't miss your show?
I love y'all. Watch First Take every weekday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on ESPN2. And anytime I'm invited to San Juan, Puerto Rico, or anywhere else in Puerto Rico, I'm going to give it strong consideration because that's one of my favorite places. Plus, it's only like a 30-minute to an hour-long flight from my family's home, which is St. Thomas, Virgin Islands.
So that's true.
That's not too far. So, I'll put two trips in one, but I'm going to work it out.
Okay. You're more than invited to come to Puerto Rico anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
By the way, he is like looking her up and
down
the
entire time.
He clearly is, I'm Stephen A. here.
That's not
it. Stephen A. Smooth is a comment I saw earlier watching the video.
Stephen A. Smooth.
Do you think he's creepy guy at party after a couple cocktails?
Yes. Most definitely.
If you're going to do that in an interview, yes, you're creepy
and
guy at a party.
And towards the end of the interview, it gets to creeper level.
Like, you can tell he's going around the room and he's talking to all the ladies to kind of weigh it out.
Stay tuned to the station. For obvious reasons.
And I'm not kidding. He looks her down. It looks her up and down from toe to head.
Attaboy, Stephen A. What about this one went viral last week? And I mean, how can you pass this up? So why was he talking to Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg has his own show.
He's got his own show.
Yeah,
huh?
It's an online show, isn't it?
Snoop-a-loop. Look at that. Have you guys seen the Snoop like hockey stuff and basketball stuff that he's done? I think Kimmel had him do it. He was doing like fun hockey rules, like trying to like in Snoop terms explain hockey and how it works.
Okay.
They're pretty funny videos. But this is him talking with Snoop Dogg about what part of the body he prefers.
Ass or t-? Always, always ass. That's true. I'm going to answer that. I mean, I know I'm associated with Walt Disney, but damn it, everybody knows that I'm a bottom feeder.
Okay.
I mean, we all know that.
Bottoms up.
All right.
Anybody else super uncomfortable with the term bottom feeder?
Absolutely.
It's one thing to pick. There. And he, it's a fun Snoop Dogg show, right? He referenced himself as a bottom feeder?
You know that's going to go viral.
Roast beef.
He had to apologize.
He did?
Yeah.
People made him apologize for that?
Yeah, people gave him some crap. I'll defend.
I mean, it's creepy, but I don't think you need to apologize for it.
You shouldn't have to.
Yeah. Just the term. It's like some words. It's like we were talking to a gal in the office a while back about the word moist. It's just, you just feel kind of uncomfortable.
Stay away from it. Yeah.
Stay away from that word. You stay away from bottom feeder. It's all right. That's a conversation men will have. We've been having for millennia. We've been having the upper body or lower body conversation. But when you put bottom feeder into it, you lose me.
Yeah, I go a different direction. Like if I said dirty you into the up tops or down lows.
Right.
It'd be different if you just simply said the up tops. You took it a step further with the bottom feeder line.
Yeah, you lose me there. All right, there you go. Stephen A. Smith losing it a little bit.
By the way, we have to censor one because it's...
It's not the medical term, apparently.
I don't know. There's an FCC situation
going on. Gotta be careful, man. Gotta be careful. All right, I got a handful of things I want to get to. I got a fun tidbit about the World Cup that is going to blow you away. Maybe, I think. Did you see what Paulina Gretzky did? Because that was a bit of a mistake. We got to get to that. Also, we still haven't gotten to Mike Leach yet about what he got into over the weekend.
Buddy, I don't think we can just
that might have to be holdover. Like, we got a whole bunch of things, and we did not get to the Jurassic Park story there. So a handful of things still to get to, and we'll update you. It looks like Oregon State and Washington hopefully getting closer to resuming play in Omaha of that World Series eliminator game. So lots still to get to, but first, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're right.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sureway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, the sun's coming out a little bit for us, but not so far the case for the Beavers in Omaha. We just tweeted out at 1080 The Fan a side-by-side picture of what it looked like early in the day as opposed to what it looked like when the storm rolled in. Yeah, man, it got dark real quick. There's a tornado watch, lightning going on. It's a whole thing, man.
And it looks like the weather tracker, the lightning and this storm, it might be coming back around. So, like it's not looking like it's going to go away.
This comes from our buddy Josh Peterson, who we had in studio during the Oregon-Nebraska game.
Our Omaha source.
So we got boots on the ground, boss. Boots on the ground. He quote tweeted TD Ameritragedy, who, you know, obviously joking here a little bit, but I guess they tweeted, "Everything canceled. Go home. Seriously, the entire College World Series is canceled. 8-way tie, participation trophies for all.
Right.
Lightning is predicted to hit within 8 miles of that ballpark every 30 minutes until next Wednesday."
Wait,
no rain, just lightning.
Wait, what? If that's the truth, then pack it up and go home, folks.
I got to see if this is legit.
Because
this has got to be a parody, right?
Send him a message. I can't quite think it's going to be that bad. But yeah, they're hoping to get back on it. If you're just jumping in your car, you're not sure what the situation is. Oregon State and Washington
playing.
Yeah,
there's no way this is true.
Okay, elimination game.
That would be like a first in weather recorded history.
Although our weather guys have had a bad stretch here, so I wouldn't be shocked if they missed that one out there. Oregon State got down early. Femo got pulled, but they came back. They took a 4-3 lead, and then they gave the lead right back to Washington. So they trail 5-4. I believe it's in the sixth inning. And the Beavers have the bases loaded with two outs, and then the lightning came, and they called this delay, and it's been going on for about an hour, I want to say, hour and a half. It's been a long – it wasn't supposed to be that long of a weather delay, but it's been going on for a long time now.
A Beaver fan texted in earlier and said, who does this benefit more? I don't know if anybody benefits from this.
No, both teams are –
when you get this long, this is a long delay.
The weird, I actually would say it slightly benefits Oregon State more just because they're hitting right now.
Okay.
Because Washington, that's a weird situation of the pitcher that was on the mound. They weren't pulling him in that spot, but he did allow at least the bases to be loaded. So you're likely going to have to come out with a new arm at that moment. So at least Oregon State gets to start an inning fresh, and you don't have to bring a new reliever into a bases loaded situation with two outs. So slightly Oregon State, I would say, but it's not ideal for anybody. That's a tough situation. And this is going to throw it off the rest of the day because there were more games today. And now this one's delayed, so everything else is going to get kicked back. So we'll see how far the dominoes fall on this bad boy. Let's get to what Paulina Gretzky did. If you missed this, so this is from the New York Post. So, of course, Dustin Johnson took a 4-shot lead into the weekend at Shinnecock Hills at the U.S. Open. He hung around, you know, he kind of steadied himself a little bit, and he was in the mix on Sunday. And on the 72nd hole, final hole, he made a birdie putt. And Paulina Gretzky, with a couple of her friends, erupted in euphorics upon DJ making the putt with the belief that he had won the tournament.
Yeah.
Did he just win? One of them yelled at Paulina. And then they took him a while. Brooks Koepka tapped in a couple of moments later. Then it sunk in. He did not win.
No.
Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open.
Yes. Yeah. J.R. Smith-like moment.
This is
stands.
A J.R. Smith moment for Paulina, man.
Paulina can get away with it, though.
She can get away with it because she's hot? It's okay?
Yeah. Paulina is one of those, oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's just Paulina. Don't worry.
Do you get upset if you're Dustin Johnson in this situation? Like, if you find out that she was partying, thinking you won on a made putt, not knowing the circumstances at all?
No, I don't get upset. I make fun of her, though, a lot.
Okay. Okay, you bash her a little bit
for it. She's been around this for too long. She's been following golf for too long, following DJ.
She's seen too many second-place finishes. She just gets excited when he almost wins. Hey-o!
That was a low blow.
Hey-o!
That was a real low blow. Yeah, you don't get mad, but you do make fun of them for it.
Yeah, that's a pretty...
What are you guys doing? Look up.
Seriously, how do you not realize that I'm not going to win the tournament with this putt? I wanted to get to this tidbit, too, out of the World Cup. So we were talking about earlier Mexico, when they scored their goal against Germany this past weekend, they caused an earthquake in Mexico. We should have had a poll question on this. What's more important? So Mexico's fans caused an earthquake upon a goal being scored. But the Associated Press has reported Iceland got a tie with Argentina. That was a 1-1 tie, right? That was a big deal.
Big deal for Iceland, for
sure. Yeah, so it was like, you know, not Messi missed a PK and all that stuff, right? Big deal. So they tie 1-1.
This was like plus 750 for a draw, by the way.
For
this
the draw.
This was a huge win for Iceland.
You could have made some big money out of that. So get this, in Iceland, their Icelandic Football Association is reporting, according to the AP, that in the country, in Iceland, of the people that had their TVs on, 99.6% of them.
Come on, they all had them on.
Watched the game.
And that 0.4%, they were at somebody else's house.
What were you watching? What were the 0.4% watching that was not the Iceland football team?
I don't know.
What could have compelled them?
Like Vikings on History Channel.
Yeah, there's like
Channel.
A hunting or fishing show or something out there, an outdoor.
Definitely Vikings on History Channel.
Hey, season 2 is really good. You know, what are you going to do?
You already lived it, man. Just move on.
And that, what's more impressive, causing an earthquake or an entire country watching the game?
Causing an earthquake.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, Iceland.
Simultaneously.
Population-wise, I mean, come on.
So to put this into context, like people say that everybody watches the Super Bowl. Would you care to guess what percentage of Americans watch the Super Bowl?
30%.
Joe?
Yeah, I'd say about the 30, about 35, yeah.
45%. Typically, 45% of people watch the Super Bowl. Granted, we have much more people in the United States
of America.
Do you know
what the population of Iceland is?
It's like less than 400,000.
It's 334,000.
Wow. Yeah.
This is great, but let's calm this down a little
still
bit.
Still, it's everybody, though.
That like, is ridiculous that they are even considered a country with that many people.
99.6% of the people, man.
They don't even have 400,000 people in that country.
No, they don't.
Wow.
And people may, I don't know if this is a joke or what, but people have referenced, man, it's going to be a shame when this is over and those soccer players have to go back to their regular jobs.
Yeah, they go back to regular jobs. I think their coach is a dentist.
That's what I heard when they got that big win.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I saw the headline and I believed it. Their coach is a dentist.
The legend is becoming true, bigger than reality.
That's
for
right.
them.
You know?
This is easily an earthquake.
All right. Fine.
You think it's more impressive with the TVs?
I think it's crazy that the entire country, that's like everybody.
Yeah, people, good point. They probably were watching porn if they weren't watching that.
You think that's what it would have been? Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, you got to do what you got to do on a Saturday.
You got to Chromecast that.
Yeah. We're just watching on a different outlet. So there's your two World Cup feats from the weekend. 99.6% of people in Iceland watch their tie, or excuse me, what? Draw is the word I'm supposed to use? Draw against Argentina?
Yeah, dude, get it right.
99.6% of people, and then Mexico caused an earthquake. What is more impressive to you? 55305. I keep teasing this Jurassic Park thing, and I apologize. I will get to it next. We're not going to have enough time for Mike Leach today.
We're going to get to Mike Leach tomorrow.
That's going to be a holdover. If you didn't see what he did, I'll at least tee it up for you to set you up for tomorrow. So we'll get to that. But we'll close out the show with an answer on the poll questions of the day, including was it bad that Phil Mickelson putted his ball while it was still moving, and what politician would it be most embarrassing to lose a one-on-one basketball game to? That plus dinosaurs coming near you next on The Fam.
LA
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague,
brought to you by Sherway Building Center
on 1080 so The Fan.
Some solid oldies on the show today. Just he's jamming out. If you DJ my wedding, Joe, this is what you got to do, all right?
Yeah, this is what Dirt wants. He doesn't want any of those Migos or...
Well, that will be later in the night.
Triple X, Tenacity, or whatever you
no,
listen
to. No, we're not
to.
Playing no 6ix9ine crap, Joe, all right? Get your nonsense out of here.
That will be later in the evening. I got you with the Frank Sinatra big band for the dinner cocktail hour.
There you go. There
but
you
yeah,
go.
Once the lights
Aunt
go down.
Once Janice leaves the wedding, you can
play. Oh, no.
Play
my family
what you
doesn't.
Need.
My family does not stop partying. Oh. They go all night. They're
from
all
the
night
windows
parties.
To the walls.
No, we're not going to the windows to the walls. There's no sweat dropping off. No, none of that's happening. I do have some wedding news, by the way.
Oh, you're getting married tomorrow.
No.
Oh.
But I do know now, officially, as of this morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning when I was rudely woken up in the middle of the night. Because she applied to get into this program. It's a 2-year program, so we were waiting to see if she got in to decide if the wedding was going to be next summer or this summer after that.
Okay,
she got in. I got 2 years of Easy Street, man.
The dirt
wedding.
You ever prepared for a wedding?
No, but I was starting to panic a little bit because I was getting overwhelmed, and it was like, if it's next summer, this is madness. I need some time here. And so she found out, she got the email that she got in. So Dirt Wedding's not going to be until the summer of 2020, man.
Okay, first of all, congratulations.
I got 2 more years of living the dream.
Hey,
great news
year.
For her.
Yes, very big news. Awesome for her.
Second of all, this is not going to be Easy Street.
This is going to be a lot easier now, okay?
No. You think
don't
she's
rain
only
on
distracted
my
if the wedding is within a year?
Don't you rain
no,
on
no.
my parade.
Now she's got 2 years to finalize and make sure everything is perfect.
Don't rain on my parade.
So yeah. I can't wait for you
don't
to go test wedding cake in a week.
We're checking out another venue tomorrow.
Oh, I bet. I have Easy Street. He said 2 more years. You're checking out venues 2 years out?
Well, we didn't know it was going to be 2 years out until today, and we had already scheduled the venue check. So at least these are going to slow down for a little bit now.
Any teaser of what kind of venues we're thinking about here?
It's a summer wedding outdoors. This
solid.
Is all. No, I don't know. You know, I don't
solid.
Know. I'm just going to be fully honest with you. I don't know. The only things I want control over. I've been adamant about this. I want control over the music, the food, and the booze. That's it.
Is it open bar?
Yeah, of course. Come on now.
Don't get cheap on me here.
I'm not going cheap on
anybody.
Don't
get cheap on me.
We're going bigger. We're going home there.
Don't go Uncle Frank from Home Alone.
We have already talked budgets, and I have already corralled a certain chunk of the budget for the booze part of the festivities. Because when you go to weddings, what do you remember? You remember dancing and drinking and having a good time. Do you remember the flower? I've used this argument against her. Do you remember flower arrangements? Do you remember the color of the linens?
No.
Because these are things that, you know, that's your territory.
I got to be honest.
You.
I remember how good the music was because I judged that on the dance floor. I remember the food and go, yeah, food wasn't that great. And then I do remember the open bar.
Yeah, that's it.
My kids are going to be 7, 8, and then 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Depending on when you get married. I need this in my life.
You need the, I need this.
I need you to make this a good wedding.
I got some extra time now to plan a bachelor party. Nothing's coming up this spring. I got a year and a half now to plan that thing.
It's going to be a night out with my wife and I at your wedding.
I am psyched about this. You're not bringing the kids to the wedding?
I wouldn't.
Really?
I sure as hell wouldn't.
Do you want kids at your wedding?
I'm just kidding. I mean, I'll have nieces and nephews there.
Honestly,
stuff, you know?
The wedding I just did last weekend was an S show because of the amount of kids that were there. So honestly, take Brandon's advice and consider just a no kid wedding.
Well, but he's got nieces and his brother's got to bring his kids.
All right, give him like a cutoff time of like 7:30 and then they got to be out of there.
Right, yeah. Give him the boot.
I say non-blood relative children are not allowed. Non-blood children are not allowed.
I want more of them because they eat for free at some of these places. Like if you have kids under the age of 8, like you don't have to count them in the money count. So I don't mind having kids at the wedding. I'd rather have more kids than
it's
cheaper.
Don't do it. I'm telling you.
Don't get mad at somebody when they fight a kid.
I'm trying to save some money, all right?
This kid took the last cheesecake.
The hell's going on here? So there's the wedding update of the day. Let's get to this. So this is crazy. There is a doctor, there's a famed paleontologist, Dr. Jack Horner, and he has been, that's a great name, he has been
Little
the-
Jack Horner, who sat in the corner.
Jack Horner. He is the consultant on all four of the Jurassic Park films, like he's the guy, and he's actually the character they based Dr. Alan Grant off of.
Oh, don't move, the T-Rex can't see you if you don't move.
Yeah, you gotta stay still.
How glad were they when that actually came to be true?
Yeah.
When they were on the island?
Right,
valid. Wait a minute, he can see you, now he's gonna eat me.
Run for your life. So he did an interview with People Magazine with the new movie coming out, and he has said optimistically, we are just 5 years away from a genetically engineered dinosaur. Optimistically, 5 years away from having dinosaurs roaming the planet.
Here's the thing. We already have dinosaurs.
Yeah, birds and alligators and stuff. But we're talking raptors and T-Rexes here.
I doubt that.
You're not buying it?
I think we're going to have glorified rhinos.
Okay. He said keep a head on a swivel.
No, we're going to have leaf-eating dinosaurs that just drop massive amounts of number two and do nothing. That's what I see.
What could go wrong, man?
We're not going to go Jurassic Park here.
What could go wrong?
Create a bunch of meat eaters, and then what? Make a park? That ain't going to happen.
It'd be kind of cool to go to, though.
I'm more into are they going to recreate the woolly mammoth? They did a special on that on the Discovery Channel years ago, and I watched it, and I was so disappointed because you come to no conclusion. But they have said more and more they're getting closer and closer to creating that.
Mm.
That would be kind of kick-ass to see a
probably rather
mammoth.
Have a woolly mammoth than a dinosaur. I'm kind of with you on that.
I don't know how
depending
much...
Depending on the kind of dinosaur.
Right. I don't know how much you want them to produce because they would probably mess up the ecosystem quite a lot in our current climate. But seeing one in person would be pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So this is something we're going to have to get to tomorrow. And this is going to be on top. Mike Leach had a bad weekend on Twitter. He tweeted out a video of Obama giving a speech, and it was fake.
Yeah, it was a doctored video. Now, he is a longtime Trumper.
Yeah, his political allegiance. No, we know
where
it is. So he shared this video, and he tweeted out, and he said he wanted to get a conversation going, but he did not acknowledge or realize that the video was a doctored fake video. And people were responding to him, and he said, this was one of his responses, prove it, irrelevant anyways, we are discussing ideas, do one or the other. He was very defensive about this. He had to delete the tweet. We'll get to that at some point tomorrow. We had a prize bribe to give away. I forgot to do it, so we'll do a couple of those tomorrow. Sorry, Joe. I apologize for that. And Oregon State at some point will continue playing baseball, and that'll be a topic as well tomorrow. If they survive or if this is it, as they're taking on Washington, that game's still in a lightning delay. That'll do it for us. If you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.